Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to this Watford FA Cup final special here on Love Sport with myself, Richard Lee, and Luther Blissett. We are, of course, talking about the huge game that is due to take place. Watford, of course, taking on Man City. How are we doing, Luther?
I'm doing very well and looking forward to this like no other. I can't remember the last time I look forward to an FA Cup final like this.
Well, do you know what? We're given all sorts of information here. And the first thing we'll be given is the match odds. And I feel like I need to start with this. Man City 5-1 on to win the game. Watford 14-1 to win in 90 minutes. 14-1. They are massive underdogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, let's face it, you would expect it to be that way. You really would, because of what they've done this season. We haven't beaten them in probably 2, 3, 4, whatever number of seasons now. We haven't beaten them. So it's a very tall order. But it is the FA Cup. And if there's any time that an upset could happen, and we've seen it over the years of this competition, you know, it's in the FA Cup final.
Indeed. And of course, I suppose we can take heart from the fact that when we played against City twice this season, both been positive performances. Of course, the offside decision in the game at the Etihad was quite costly.
Yes.
So do you feel going into this that that will be something that Watford players can look at and take real heart from?
I think more to the point, the Manchester City will look at that and they'll know in both games they won them, but they didn't. It wasn't a convincing performance or victory on their part. So they'll be quite mindful of that. And Pep Guardiola, being the perfectionist that he is about everything, he will be looking to put that right. But from our point of view, the performances, and especially the away one up at City, where we played a second string for most of that game, it showed that you know, we're on the right lines of the way we went out to play the game. So with a little bit of tweaking and getting everybody fit, and thankfully Holibas is fit to play, then I should say he's able to play after the red card. So, you know, we'll be right up to speed on that.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, a little bit of luck is also something that you'd argue that we may need. Obviously, look, this City team being as good as they are, you'd feel the first goal is going to be vitally important.
It is going to be important to the fact that if they get it, it makes it, maybe no, it doubles the problem that we have. But the goal cut, you know, Watford was to get the goal, and then City are now having to maybe alter their plan a little bit of where they're going to play. Because I know people say they never change the way they play, but everybody changes the way they play when you go a goal behind, depending on the stage of the game. And City will be no different. Players will be a bit more anxious because they'll be wanting to, they'll be not wanting to not get this trophy as well as the two they've already got.
Is there a feeling as well, and it's a, you know, you hear that comment all the time, names written on the trophy, but the way in which they got through the semi-final, the way in which we played against Wolves, it looked like it was down and out, and to come back in the way that we did, is that the kind of thing where, again, just further confidence?
I think confidence and the belief has got to come from somewhere, and right from the very offset of this competition, having seen the way they started against Woking, I just had this feeling that the cup final was beckoning for us. And as it went on, you know, I started to believe it more so. And by the time we got to play QPR in a game that we had one effort at goal and they had about 12 or more, you thought to yourself, "This, we're going to win this. We're actually going to win this." And you know, that belief is still there to this day.
Yeah. Of course, in this show, we will be hearing from current Watford stars Tom Cleverley, Adi Mariappa, and 84 Cup Final Les Taylor as well. In terms of star players and key players for this particular game, is there anyone that stands out for you that needs to have a good game in order for us to be successful?
I think for the Watford team to be successful against Manchester City, we need our wide players, meaning fullbacks. I start with the fullbacks. Fullbacks need to have good games along with the centre backs. And I think if they are solid, Kapu has been having a very good season in the middle of the midfield for us. You know, he's now playing that holding midfield role more and more. And if you look at the interceptions he's had, he's top of the interceptions and that sort of thing. So he is in really good form. And Decore alongside him, you know, we've got not bad balance in there, but it really need to be right at the back and make sure those midfield players stick to their guns, because City are difficult, and the big problem comes for the fullbacks. Their wide people comes inside, the ball gets played square, and then they make that forward run between fullback and centre half, And quite often, you know, that ball is delivered straight, you know, and nobody's picked him up. And we have to be very mindful of that.
And I guess this is the kind of game as well where your goalkeeper ordinarily will need to have a very good game. It looks like it'll be Gomez, of course, that will play, who is a massive character.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Perfect for this kind of game.
Oh, he is. And, you know, the way he has played in this competition so far, when you're thinking he only plays in the cup competitions and, you know, he's training every week and we know his morale is going to be because he is, you talk about a professional, he really is. Mm. A real professional with the way he looks after himself and the way he conducts himself. So I have no qualms about the fact that he's in goal and whatever. I think it's actually for the benefit of the team that he is.
And what impact can the fans make as well? It's going to be packed, undoubtedly.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Massive, massive day. 35 years, of course, since the last time Watford made an FA Cup final. How much of a part can the fans play?
The fans are going to play a huge part. And I have... you know, I'm in contact with some now and then with Roy Moore from the 1881, and they do an awful lot. You know, they're the ones that set out all the flags, the banners, and that sort of thing. And, you know, they are the singing group and all that. You know, they are the ones that generate the energy at games, which then draws the other supporters in. And they are well fired up for it, and they're looking forward to it with all the verve and energy that they bring every week. And their part, and sometimes players don't really appreciate what that can be, but the noise from the terraces, that energy that they generate when you're on that pitch, as you well know, you can feel that, and that you can use to get that extra half a yard, that yard, you know, get to that ball that normally you might just not have got to. And that's the part they can play, and they've got to realize that regardless of state and stage of the game, and this is the Graham Taylor saying, that is, you know, you just have to believe and keep giving of your best.
Yeah, and I can't help but feel for the town. If this were to be a positive result, surely the Watford Observer will be from page one till the back page will just be about this game.
There'll be no other news if that is the case. And another thing on that one, for anybody who's not making it to the cup final, Watford are actually going to have, I should say, the Watford Council, the mayor, Peter Taylor, they have putting up three screens in Castlebury Park.
Oh,
and
amazing.
It's free for anybody. Can just go down there with your picnic and enjoy the game and support the boys on the thing. So that is something, again, reflecting Graham Taylor's thing about community and football being a game for the working man in the street. You know, so go enjoy and celebrate the cup coming to Vicarage Road.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, as we mentioned, we have got Les Taylor, we have got Tom Cleverley coming up as well. But coming up next will be Aidy Mariappa.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Watford FA Cup Final special on Love Sport with myself, Richard Lee, and Luther Blissett. And our next star guest is none other than Mr. Aidy Mariappa. How are we doing, Aidy?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. I assume you're looking forward to this game.
Yeah, can't wait. Obviously, it's a massive occasion, and obviously just delighted to be part of it.
Yeah, that in your voice when you said you can't wait, I think that anyone listening will definitely understand where this is coming from with that comment on that one. And it is a very special day. That, you know, there's been a lot said about the FA Cup and as it lost its luster and, you know, this mystique that it's always had. For me, it never has and never will do. And the tone of your voice tells me that you're exactly the same, man, from that.
Yeah, and 100%. I mean, I've been lucky enough to have, you know, some good cup runs in the past, and, you know, it's the stuff you dream about as a kid. And, you know, Richard will be the same as me. You know, obviously we come through Watford as young as, you know, through the academy and through the scholarship ages, and, you know, you grew up hearing of, you know, the legend stories that, you know, yourself, Luther, you and Graham Taylor created. And you know, it's something that, you know, I wasn't born, but I was always made aware of. And you know, all the players from that era had, you know, almost hero status. So to be a part of a team to, you know, recreate that and, you know, create some of our own history as well is, you know, something that, you know, you can't, you know, it's stuff that money can't buy. And, you know, like I said, I'm just, you know, grateful to be a part of it.
I think it's very important, you know, what you just said, because yes, that was a history, something that I was a part of, but you guys now are on the verge of, you know, writing the next chapter. And I think this is something yourself and all the players need to really grasp what that really means is, you know, the next chapter that people will be talking about for years and years to come. you're on the verge of creating something very, very special. And, you know, that's what the FA Cup does. So I think, like myself and all the supporters and everybody, you know, we're just hoping that on the day we give that performance and it's enough to actually bring the result home. And I'm, you know, I'm pretty much sure that's what's going through the squad at the moment.
No, I agree. You know, I think collectively, as you know, all the players are focused on, you know, winning the game. You know, that's all we want to do. Like you said, write our own history and, you know, take it a step further. And, you know, that's all anyone's focusing on. And of course, we'll enjoy the day, but, you know, we want to bring the cup home. And like I said, that's the stuff you dream of.
And from a personal point of view, and I'll say this without blowing smoke, but you've had such an incredible journey with Watford from, as you mentioned, from when you were a kid. And, you know, I know the story when you were 16 years old and on the verge of getting released effectively. You managed to fight for your contract and ended up making it as a pro, obviously playing the games you did. Went away for a while, came back to Watford. And again, you fought to have that starting place and play as many games as you have. So you're certainly used to being an underdog in your career. So I guess going into a game like this, it's perfectly poised in so many ways, with City being overwhelming favourites, for you guys to create an upset.
Yeah, listen, we'll be massive underdogs. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, most of our squad has experienced similar stuff to what I have in my career as well. And like I said, it's perfectly poised for us to, you know, go there and, like I said, write our own history. And we want to cause a massive upset. And that's all we focus on doing.
Do you have any superstitions that you sort of follow leading up to games, whether it's in the cup or in general league games, that you're able to share with us?
The only thing I make sure I do is I just pray before I go out on the pitch, and I try and keep the superstitions to a minimum. You know, I think you know, if you forget to do something or you know, one little thing in your chain of superstition goes wrong, then it might throw you off a little bit. And I try to have, you know, the least amount of distractions as I can, and you know, just fully focus on what I'm doing. And like I said, the only thing I do is make sure I pray before I go out.
Matt, so I know you're still really close to Lloyd Doyley. Has Doyley given you any words of wisdom before the game?
Well, I don't think Doyley's ever given me words of wisdom. But yeah, look, we always talk and that, and I think he's coming to the game as well, so obviously it'd be good to catch up with him after. But he's had you know, loads of experiences in his career, and he always you know, shares them with me, and I've shared a lot with him as well. And he's someone I highly respect, and you know, I'm glad that he'll be at the game.
Yeah, give us a bit of a flavour of what it's like for a player going into the FA Cup final, and what that's gonna, you know, what's that gonna feel like for you as you line up to walk out of that tunnel?
I mean, I'm not sure what it's going to feel like. The last time I was involved in FA Cup final, I was on the bench and came on, and you know, what I remember was, you know, the incredible atmosphere, and you know, I'm sure it'd be, you know, even more electric than the semi final was, because that was, you know, really something to take in. And walking out for the semis was unbelievable feeling. You know, I remember just seeing all the flags, and you know, how noisy our fans were. And like I said, I just tried to take it in. And I think, especially at my age now, my stage of my career, you know, all these moments, you know, I try not to just let it pass without, you know, really trying to, you know, take it all in.
This is it, mate. You are cracking on.
Well, as old as you, yeah. Mate, I still feel young, and I'm young at heart.
You are.
Like I said, listen, you know, time waits for no one. And you never know when these occasions will come again, so it's best to, you know, grab them with both hands and, like I said, you know, really take it in.
And I've got to ask, because I know you obviously get asked how many tickets you want before the game, so how many tickets have you ordered, and who's ordered the most, do you know?
I do. I'm not going to share how many tickets exactly I've ordered, but I've got like all my kids and my family and that coming, and my friends, and couple of people. Well, my brother's putting big requests for like his work team and stuff as well, so there'll be a lot of people coming. I'm definitely not the person who's ordered the most. I know I've heard some outrageous numbers.
Oh, come on, you got to reveal. Come on, give us a name.
He's not going to do it. But again, AD, that's what the FA Cup is all about, isn't it? That's what it's about. All the people, all your family and your friends and everybody wanting to be there to support you and see you do well. And, you know, that is the allure. That is the wonder of what the FA Cup is all about.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, for me especially, you know, grew up in Harrow, and you know, from my street, I could see the arch of Wembley Stadium, and that's so, you know, it's quite local for me. So to go there, be playing in the FA Cup final is, you know, definitely something for myself and my family that, you know, means a lot.
Maps, if I see a section of the crowd that are singing your name for 90 minutes, and I'm giving you so much stick, you know that, yeah?
Well, I'm hoping that you're in that section as well.
Brilliant. That is just absolutely brilliant. So what's your ritual? I want to know, what is the ritual now, the night leading up to the game? Is it the same ritual you're going to go through where you just treat it exactly as normal, or is this game just got a little bit more to it being the FA Cup final?
As far as preparation goes, it'll just be exactly the same as every other game. We'll all be at the hotel together. We'll eat as a team. People get, you know, various treatments from the physios and stuff. And then, you know, the morning will be, like I said, you know, the normal build up to a game. But, you know, it's the FA Cup final, so it's always going to have, you know, a bit more of a feeling to it. You'll be able to feel the atmosphere. Obviously, the coach going to, well, I don't know, probably be a short trip, you know, because we'll probably be staying in Wembley, but you'll be able to see all the fans out and stuff, and you can't help but, you know, not get excited and feel the energy, you know, around the whole stadium.
Obviously, having had the experience of the Palace Cup final, is there anything that you can take from that going into this?
One thing that stood out for me was, you know, obviously we lost, and it's a horrible feeling, you know, losing in the final, and I'd definitely be doing everything on the day, you know, selective to try and make sure that we win, and, you know, I feel a bit better than I did after that game.
Yeah, go on.
I wanted to ask, I mean, we saw at the City game, obviously City winning the league, and the chef got a lot of praise and was involved in a lot of the celebrations. Always a team behind the team, and we spoke a lot about the manager, yourself, and the players having done what they've done this season. But of course, there's a massive team behind what goes on. Is there anyone in particular you want to highlight? Anyone from maybe the fitness department, medical department?
There'd be too many names to mention, if I'm honest, because, like I said, there's, you know, from the physios that look after all the boys to all the guys in the gym, you know, the canteen staff, that look after us, you know, from 8 a.m. till, you know, they're there till whatever time we finished and beyond. And they're there even if there's only one player in, everyone's got a day off. All the canteen staff and other staff are all there. So, like you said, it's a real collective club effort, and we're just, you know, it's a big team. And you can't, you know, achieve anything nowadays in football if you're not a team and everyone isn't pulling in the right direction. And definitely this season, everyone has been.
That's very, very important, because, you know, if you're going to win anything, and City again typified that, and if you look at Liverpool, it's the same. Absolutely everyone, with every sinew, everything in their soul, it's all about supporting their team and being a part of it on that day. And it just makes it so, so exciting. And, I mean, I'm excited, and I don't often do that. But with Watford in the FA Cup final, I just can't wait for it, because I feel there's something very, very special coming. And is that a sort of feeling that amongst the squad as well, that it's that quietly belief within all of you going into this game?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever lacked belief, and I think everyone believes in each other so much. You know, I think we've been written off, you know, plenty of times, you know, not just this season, but previous seasons before. And I think most of the lads here, you know, have been together a while. We've added some good characters to the group, and, you know, there's just good people here that are willing to fight for each other and work for each other. And, you know, those are the things that give us belief as a team. And, you know, like I said, we'll be underdogs, but, you know, we'll be very confident in ourselves, and we'll just give everything on the day.
And just a quick one, look, it must be hard to look at next season given the fact that you have got this game coming up. But from a personal point of view, you must be pleased with how this season's gone and excited for next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good season. You know, not a great one, considering I think we could have, you know, finished higher, and that was, you know, our goal, especially coming, you know, for the last games of the season. But it's definitely still been a good season. We finished on the highest points that we have ever in the Premier League, and it's definitely, you know, progress for the club. And you know, I think next season we'll just be looking to kick on as a group, and, you know, I'm sure the club will definitely be, you know, pushing for that as well.
Great stuff, lady. We'll let you go and rest those old legs of yours in preparation for the game.
Cheers.
There's no need for that. There's no need for that.
Got me back for last time for the year.
This was it. We had him on the show not so long ago, and he gave me a little bit of stick. I'm not going to tell you what that stick was. I'm not going to let you get another laugh out of that. But AD, thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Great Take stuff. Care, that is, Good of luck. Course, AD Mariappa preparing for the huge game against Man City.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Watford FA Cup special here on Love Sport. And next up, who else but Mr. Luther Blissett sat opposite me here to give his thoughts on the FA Cup and some of his most memorable memories. Now, we had a little chat off air about a couple of the games that you played in particular. I want to touch on them in a minute. First and foremost, though, the FA Cup, has it changed much since your day, do you think?
I think the biggest thing about the FA Cup is managers, coaches now, in the last probably, 20 years or so, of the very big clubs, they will play almost their second string or give one or two of their top players a rest and send the team out expecting, you know, and quite really they should win the game. A lot of people said, you know, is this disrespecting the cup? I think with the squad systems that they have now, you can't really go down that road, whereas in the beginning when I thought it was. I think the cup hasn't changed at all. Mm. People that now are, whether they're players or coaches or whatever, they're the ones that have changed. And it's usually a financial thing why a lot of them have now changed the way they approach it early on. Mm. But once you get to sort of like the fourth round onwards, they start to see it serious because they can see they can see Wembley.
Well, when you approached an FA Cup game, did you approach it any differently to how you would have approached a league game?
I think you do, because you see it as this one-off, and it's almost like a free hit. It's like this free game that you can play, and it almost like kicking the season off again. So you suddenly find yourself revitalized, all the energy in the world, and you just want to get your hands on that cup. You think, we win, we're one step closer to getting hold of the FA Cup. And the reason? Because anyone that plays football at whatever level, and if they qualify for those in those preliminary rounds, they could be playing a Man City or a Liverpool or whatever in the third round of the FA Cup. And that is an enormous incentive to go out there and give of your best.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll touch on a few of the games that you were involved in yourself. One in particular, of course, game against Sheffield United. You won 5-0. I'm pretty sure I know why this one's come up.
It was because Les Taylor scored a goal. And then, who was it? Yeah, I got four
there
that
go.
Day. I got four that day. And actually, the fourth one was a back heel as well about 6 yards. Yeah, yeah. But as you do, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were very good. We had a very good... I think there's been a tradition at Watford, you know, under Graham Taylor, it all started, was we progressed well in the FA Cup. We would quite often get to the fifth round of the FA Cup, you know, pretty much season after season, it felt like. Mm. And, you know, the occasion we did get to the semis and whatever, it was really an amazing time. But the FA Cup was something very, very special. And so that we beat them, we won that one 5. Remember, we beat, to get to the semi-final, we beat the Arsenal at Highbury at the time. We beat them 3-1 with that controversial goal. So everybody thought that I scored.
Yeah,
I only got two that day.
Yeah.
you know, there's been others. We've beaten Manchester United at Vicarage Road in the FA Cup third, fourth round. Jan Lohmann scored the goal. We beat them 1-0 and stuff. You know, so there's been some amazing games in the FA Cup, and that's what it throws up. Watford being at the time predominant in, you know, being a second, third division club coming through and playing, you know, the first division giants at that time and getting amazing results. So that's why I just love the FA Cup. So,
yeah, a couple of other games of note, Wolves in particular.
Oh, Wolves. We were due to play Wolves on the Saturday. And as you do in training, you know, it's like you start talking about all sorts of nonsense as you do. And it got round to our own goals. I think somebody must have got one in one of the set pieces we were doing. And I remember Pat Rice saying, no, he's never scored one. And it was one of those, as the words left his mouth, I'm going to say, no, don't say it, don't say it. Because you know what are coming next. We play Wolves the next day at Vicarage Road. Tight game, as it always is against them. And we lost 1-0.
And?
Pat Rice, goal scorer.
It's always the way. I didn't realise we spoke off air. Of course, you never got to play at Wembley for Watford, but
no.
You did, of course, for England.
I did for England, yeah. I made my first... I went on a sub for about 10 minutes. My very first ever game for the England national team, full team, against West Germany. Mm. I went on for that period of time. And then in the October... I started my first game properly against Luxembourg when I got my hat-trick in that 9-0 win. So, yeah, the only times I played at Wembley, you know, I've had England shirt on, which is a very proud moment. And, you know, every time people brings it up, you can vividly see it. And it's almost as if you're there in that moment again. And that's what playing at Wembley is all about.
Yeah, and one other game in the FA Cup I want to touch on, a game against Walsall.
Yeah, oh, Walsall. What, there's this season... I mean, we were going very well, actually. And so we had, I think it was the fourth round or something, and it was away at Warsaw. We drew at Warsaw, so we had them on the Tuesday, at Vicarage Road, because the games used to be replayed literally within 3 days. Mm. So you'd play them at Vicarage Road. And again, we drew, I think, 2 or 3-3, we drew. So we had to go for a third game, and we went to Warsaw. And after all those goals and everything that was going, it was 1-0 with some own goal, I think, was what finally settled it. Yeah, I put Warsaw and we went on to the next round.
And I've got to ask you, of course, I'm sure you've been asked this hundreds of times, but you did work so closely with Graham Taylor. And I'm sure he'll be looking down on this particular game, and it will mean so much to him.
I will. Graham Taylor, and I've said one or two things, over the years, whatever, and whenever I'm interviewed about Graham Taylor. But Graham was he looked at things very simply. He always felt that if you go out and give the best performance that you could, and you did that as a team, and his team you didn't necessarily need all 11 of you playing to that level, but if you had 7-8 of you playing to that level, more than likely your performance would bring you a result out of it. Mm. And, I was sort of brought up with that, and all the other players were, because Graham was all about what you did and what was the reason why you were doing it. Mm. And you did it for yourself, you did it for your family, you did it for your club, but you did it more than anything. You did it for all those people that paid good money every week to follow you up and down the country and live their dreams through you. Because when they're sat there watching, they're not watching you, they're watching themselves. Mm. Everybody, they think, oh, I would have done that, I would have done, because that is how people are. They want to see themselves. They'd love to be the one out on that pitch, but no, you're doing it. So you have got a huge responsibility when you walk out into that football pitch to give of your best, because you're doing it for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we need a score prediction.
Score, it will be a win for Watford, and I think we'll either win it 1-0 or it'll be 2-1 to Watford.
Is that head and heart? Mainly heart?
That is both. Fantastic. That is head and heart.
Fantastic. Up next, we'll be talking to 84 final captain Les Taylor.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Watford FA Cup special on Love Sport with myself, Richard Lee, and of course, Luther Blissett. And we have a very, very special guest, none other than the captain of the 1984 FA Cup final for Watford, Les Taylor. How are we doing, Les?
I'm good, thanks.
So how much are you looking forward to this one, having experienced the 84 one?
Really looking forward to it because, I think the Watford team now are probably in a better position to actually go and win the cup. I know it's a difficult ask because of, Man City, especially with them winning the league. But, there might be some tired legs in the Man City team. And, Watford have got some game changers. And what football's like, Luther, in the cup game, whoever scores first sometimes gets the edge. So there's always shocks.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned this. I want to touch on the one that you played in, of course. And you feel that Watford do have a better chance this time around than they did back then?
I think so, because, if you look at the team that played in 84, it was a really young side. I think the average age was about 19, 20. Steve Sherwood was probably the oldest. Now I was second oldest. Now I was only 28. And if you look at the team we played against, they went on to win the Cup Winners' Cup, they won the league. So Everton was a team that had just come together and was the start of good things for them.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the thing about that Everton team was, as you said, it was the beginning really for them. And they went on and, a real competitive team in the First Division as it was then, and in cup competition. So, we give them a good run for money. But Les, I mean, I came back and watched that game. That game, and had been a bit more fortunate in front of goal, especially in that first 20 minutes. That game almost could have been out of their reach, couldn't it?
It could have, yeah. The first 15, 20 minutes, we had most of the play. I can remember Barnsley having a 1v1 with Neville Southall, and the rebound, would you believe, fell to me.
Yeah, what were you doing that far forward at that stage?
I just wanted to score. You know what Graham's like, you take up your shooting opportunities, but you know, the Watford Observer clock wasn't behind the goal at Wembley, so you know, actually nearly hit the target.
How did it feel? Because this is, you know, we spoke to a couple of Watford players on this podcast already, and we're trying to get across to them. How are they going to feel? Have they pictured how they're going to feel walking out at Wembley? I mean, how was it walking out? We've seen the pictures and, of course, some classic pictures from back then, but how did you feel? Were you nervous? Were you excited? Is it something you still remember vividly now?
Absolutely. And, you know, to be fair, whenever the show talk about Graham, they always show that picture in the background and, you know, with us walking out. It's a very proud moment for me. And I don't think you realise, you know, I didn't even realise until 2 weeks ago how many people actually watched that game worldwide. You know, like apart from the World Cup final, that's probably the most watched game in the world.
Yeah,
football.
It is. It is absolutely massive. And as you say, you don't realise. And I remember Morris Johnson, of all people, saying later on, it didn't really hit him until the game was over. And, you know, the club, you know, sort of having a sort of dinner and stuff after the game. What an opportunity and what the FA Cup really, really meant. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I was asking the question to the boys we've spoken to already, for them to get a feel of exactly what and how important this game is and could be in their, you know, for their careers.
Yeah, if I had my time again, I would do a lot of things differently. You know, I was fortunate to go back to Wembley when I went to Reading and we played, would you believe, Luton Town in the Simard Cup final.
Yeah.
And we absolutely hammered them 4-1, which all the Watford fans would love to hear.
They love that, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I think we got caught up in the emotions of the day. You know, when I went back to Wembley, you know, like it was a case of like getting the players to remember that we've got to go there and do a job first and foremost. And like we just got with the 84 Cup final, I think we got caught up in the emotions of the day. And, you know, it just got to us a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose you didn't. I mean, had Ricey been fit and was playing, it might have made a bit of a difference with him being on the pitch. With what you're saying, but as you said, with the age of Steve Sherwood and then yourself and then everybody else being very young, it would have been difficult.
And to be fair to the squad, as you say, like, we had goals in it, and I think you know, the front four probably got us to Wembley anyway. You look at Barnsley, Nigel Callahan, George and Morris, you know, they got goals out of nothing.
Yes.
And I can remember Morris getting the winner at Luton in the replay. So, you know, like, and on the day, I don't think the front four functioned as what it normally could do.
Yeah.
So, like, as you say, like, in front of goal, we weren't the best on the day.
I think perhaps they were, what it was with the front two, they were, the day was far bigger than they probably imagined or had got themselves prepared for.
I think it was, Luth, because even in the semi-final when we played Plymouth, on the day, Plymouth were probably the better side.
Yeah.
But we were fortunate that Barnsley conjured up a great cross out of nothing and George scored the winner.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, apart from that, it didn't really function as an attacking force that day.
Looking forward to this game against Man City. Of course, Man City are overwhelming favourites. What do you think this Watford squad need to do in order to give themselves their best chance of winning?
Don't give Man City any sort of chances. Don't make any mistakes if you can. You know, they're going to have to be workmanlike, be patient. You know, they're going to have a plan which will counter what Man City are going to do, because Man City are going to keep the ball for fun. They can't go running in and diving and trying to win the ball back. It might be a case that, as I say, they just have a counter-attacking solution.
Yeah,
and try and catch them on the break.
Yeah, I think you're right with that one going forward, because I mean, the thing about Man City is they are such a talented team and a pretty complete team as well. Because I think in all positions they've got some very talented players, but when it comes down to it, on the day, it's down to, I suppose, making that bit of luck. You know, that little bit of something that makes a difference, it falls on your side of the fence rather than on your positions. And I mean, that's something Watford have, you know, really been all about since Graham Taylor arrived. You know, his thing was always stay in games and always be a threat and never give up. And I feel this team is learning that now, and they're getting better at it. So for you, who's the player, do you think, in the Watford team that... that might be the one that keeps them in the game and maybe enables somebody else to actually go and win the game for us?
I've always liked Troy Deeney. You know, like when anybody talks about the English DNA, he's a good old-fashioned centre-forward, and I'd love to play with him because he would have been the sort of player that, you know, would have got a lot of knockdowns off and played off. And I think he's just got the... You know what I mean? And yeah. he's just got the determination, I think, and as captain as well, to lead from the front.
Yeah.
And I just hope that he has a really, really good game and causes them problems. Because Watford will get set plays. You know, it might be a case that, you know, one set play goes in, and then, of course, it's a different ball game, and, you know, Man City are changing the game. Watford will get a chance.
Yes.
Definitely.
Luther,
whether they stick that in.
Luther just mentioned a name there, and can't have you on without talking about him. But Graham Taylor, of course, back in 1984, and you worked very closely with him. A couple of words on Graham Taylor.
Graham Taylor, you know, like, was an unbelievable manager. Paid attention to detail, and, you know, like, he got us to train how we played. So, you know, like, if you train really well, then you're going to play really well. And I probably didn't really appreciate him until I left the club, and then when I went on other things, especially like at Oxford, you know, there's lots of the ideas, set plays, patterns, formations that I use that Graham used.
Yeah.
So he's been a massive influence on me.
Absolutely. In many ways, though, don't you think, you look at what Guardiola does, and he is a big one on detail, and it reminds me so much of what Graham used to do. The way, you know, pretty much he covered every detail and left nowhere for us as players to use as an excuse for,
exactly,
for your performance.
You know, in the day, Luth, you can remember the, like, Monday, Tuesday meetings we used to have after the Saturday's games, where, like, Graham was probably one of the first to introduce stats for games.
Yes.
So he used to have two or three people in the stand who took down stats of everybody. And, like, they knew exactly how many passes, successful passes are made, how many times I kicked the ball over the stand. So, you know, it was really interesting.
Yeah. No, it was great. And that was what, that's what made him so special. But it's the way he put the team together and got us as a group of players to perform probably well beyond what we should have done and achieve it for such a long period of time as well.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, the initial team I joined in 1980 had a great understanding. And, like, you know, and it was full of, like, players, like, who were experienced. You know, you had the likes of Ian Boughton, Steve Sims, Keith Pritchard, you know, Eric Steele. You know, what a squad they had of experienced players. And we just had a team understanding. So I could hit the ball wherever, and I knew you or Ross Jenkins would be on the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, we had such a good understanding.
Great stuff. Well, enjoy the game, Les.
I will do.
Thanks, Les.
Great stuff. That is
no problem. Anytime.
Excellent. That is, of course, Les Taylor, captain of the 1984 Watford FA Cup finalist. Unfortunately, losing that day to Everton 2-0. Hopefully, it's a different outcome against Man City.
The Hornets take over every Sunday night, 7 till 8 p.m. The boys from the Hornets Nest bring you the Watford Fans Show, bringing you all the news from Vicarage Road and the Premier League. The Watford Fans Show, every Sunday night on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice.
This is the Watford FA Cup special here on Love Sport with myself, Richard Lee, and, of course, Luther Blissett. Luther, it's all right with you. I'd like to give a few of my memories.
I tell you what, it's always good to hear your memories, because I know you've got some good ones as well.
I've got a few good ones. Do you know what? Talk, obviously, predominantly FA Cup. I want to just mention Graham Taylor as well, actually, because Graham Taylor gave me my first ever professional contract.
I remember it well.
And my, do you know what? I remember,
because we used to talk about it. He says, you know, this Richard Lee, because his dad is like 30 foot tall. And they used to say, this young lad, he will grow. Tom used to say, no, he will grow. You'd never quite made it as tall as your dad.
Do you know what? At the age of 10 years old, and I was asked, Stuart Murdoch was the goalkeeper coach.
Yes.
And that was it. I trained well. And at the end of the session, the trial, he asked me, how tall is your mum? I said, 5'6". How tall is your dad? 6'5". You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Never got past 5'11". But you know what, Graham Taylor, I'll always remember when it came to signing a pro contract, and it was my dad that came in with me, because, of course, Graham Taylor didn't like agents, or certainly for a first contract.
Yeah.
So I remember walking into the room, my dad, quite a successful businessman, so he's written down all these points, he's going to ask for this, that, the other, going to be the big guy. He sat there. I've never seen my dad so quiet for 2 hours. And Graham Taylor just told story after story after story. At the end of the meeting, he looks at the piece of paper with the figures on, crosses them out, puts some new ones down, and said, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And that was the end of it. But yeah, but that was what Graham was like. He's done the same to all of us when he said, right, I'm going to, you know, the contract's coming up. I write it down, I give it, you go away and you come back and see me about it. Yeah. I remember doing that. And I went, I'm going to up all of those figures, up them all, you know. And so he come back to me and handed it to him. And he looked at it, looked up, looked at the thing again, looked at me and went, all right, that's fine. And walked out. And you walk out feeling so gutted that you did more. It was. That's what it's brilliant.
Oh,
yeah, it was great. What about in the FA Cup?
I mean, the big one that stands out, I got to play in an FA Cup semi-final against Manchester United. Yeah. Unfortunately, lost that 4-1 on the day. But it is still the day. I look back now, and at the time, it was a weird feeling, if I'm honest, for the fact that Ben Foster had played. I played in the third round against Ipswich, but then Ben had played fourth, fifth, sixth, obviously, and then I came in and played the semi because he couldn't play against Man United. So as much as it felt great, and I look back now really proud. At the time, I remember I hadn't played for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And this is actually where it'll be interesting for Gomez going into this particular game. So I remember not having played for 6 weeks. So I was a lot more nervous than I'd normally be for a game. But it was as soon as the game finished, although the result wasn't what we wanted it to be, you know, but I did okay. I made a few saves and generally my performance was fine. It was that feeling afterwards where you realise how big it is. I remember looking at the whole end at Villa Park and it just being a sea of yellow. And even now, talking about it, my hair stand on end because it was that moment where you realise quite how big it is.
And how close you had come to that,
I know, and it was a shame because that particular game, Hammer Boatswa, if you remember, he got a bicycle kick, beat Van der Sar, but unfortunately they were very strong. In the second half, they got a couple of late goals, which killed it off. So that's the biggest memory that I have. But I also remember before that being sat on the bench for the game against Southampton, where we had a good chance. That would have been back in, probably remember this better than me.
I was there. I went to the game. I was watching it,
And that was a serious chance because we'd beaten, I think it was Sunderland in the build-up. We'd beaten a couple of Premier League teams, Premier League teams.
Yeah, it's right. You felt as the game was going, you thought, we can do this, we can do this.
Mm.
But you say it just didn't happen on the day, which was, it was disappointing because it sort of fizzled out as the game went on rather than finish with a bit of a crescendo, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it did indeed. I mean, the other one I'll touch on as well was, of course, those games against Manchester United. It was the season we were in the Premier League. So, and again, with Ben being on loan from Manchester United, gave me the opportunity to play against.
Yeah, it would have been about 2006,
it was,
7.
Good memory. Yeah. 2006, 7, indeed. And it was the, is it all 5, 6? 6, 7, 5, 6. But it was that particular time there, of course, I had Ronaldo. And he was so good. I was telling this story to some of the guys in here, actually, about how it was only the other day I realised that I'd changed the memory that I had. Like, I had this memory of what happened when Ronaldo took a penalty against me and scored. And I thought I'd dived the right way, got a fingertip to it, and it gone in the corner. And I've told this story for the last 12 years.
And the reality of it is,
I dived the wrong way. I don't know how I've changed this idea in my mind that I was actually that close to saving it. I was nowhere near it. But it was. I look back. I mean, this is it, I suppose, looking back, and that where, you know, for what they gave, certainly me personally, and this is where going into this game, it would be fantastic if they win. You always felt like they were close to something big. Obviously, in your era, it was very, very big. But certainly in recent times where it's been growing.
They've
had
some
tough times. You know, I remember when I got my breakthrough. Really, I only got my breakthrough because we were going through such tough times under Ray Lewington, some of the financial troubles. So to see where they are now, it's an amazing journey that the club's been on.
Well, it is. I mean, was it Paul Robinson? They sold Paul Robinson to help balance the books.
That's right.
Didn't they? You know, and look at the career he went on had. I mean, I saw him the other day and I said to him, that was probably one of the best things that ever happened to you, that in fact you left Watford at that time, because his career has gone on and on. And he's brilliant, and now he's coaching up at Birmingham now.
Of course. And a couple of times where Elton John, of course, came in to help the club where needed. Fantastic. Thank you very much for allowing me to indulge myself. Up next on Love Sport, we will be joined by Watford star Tom Cleverley.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Watford FA Cup final special on Love Sport with myself, Richard Lee, and Luther Blissett. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Watford FC star Tom Cleverley. Tom, I hope you're well.
Yeah, morning, chaps. All good.
All right, Tom.
Good stuff. Obviously, massive game against City. I'm guessing it must give you guys some hope, given the way in which you performed at the Etihad not so long ago. It's a game that you guys can win.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were going into the weekend fully going for the win, and even though we've not so many points off the top six teams this season, we've definitely had some good performances, especially away from Vicarage Road. So yeah, we'll take some confidence out of that, and yeah, it's cup final day, and anything can happen.
In both games, you know, at Vicarage Road and up at the Etihad, I thought, especially late on in the home game, we looked as if, you know, there might have been a result in there for us to get that draw out of that game as it went on, but unfortunately we didn't do that. And following the results of the weekend and obviously the Holabas sending off, and great news that he's available to play in that one. What's the mood been like in the squad so far leading up to the game?
Yeah, well, obviously Sunday was a disappointment, but put that behind us. Yesterday we trained, the lads who didn't play, weren't involved in the game, were bang at it. Everyone's fighting for places in the team, in the squad, and today's actually been a day off. So yeah, there's been a few messages on the WhatsApp group saying, well done, well not well done, but glad that Joe's is available, and yeah, so we'll be back in tomorrow and a 3-day preparation for what's sure a massive game and some of the biggest games in our careers.
And what's the feeling been around the club? Of course, it is the first final since back in your day, wasn't it, Luther? 84. So first final for a long time. Made a few semi-finals between now and then, but certainly first final. Have you felt the buzz around the place?
Yeah, definitely. But I think it really did hit home yesterday. The league's finished. 18 of the other Premier League clubs go away on holiday. And, well, you've got the Champions League teams as well. But, yeah, it's just down to us and City and the media and the publicity that comes with it. So there was a real buzz around the training ground yesterday that yeah, it just felt a little bit different, a little bit special.
Oh, that's good. Tom, from a player's perspective, you know, involved at this moment in a cup final, especially at a club such as Watford, just give us a bit of an idea and people listening out there, what it's like from your perspective going into the FA Cup final.
Yeah, we really feel the love and the excitement from the fans, because this is not something that's regular as playing for a Manchester City or an Arsenal or someone who's cup finals are quite a common thing. So I've experienced it before at Aston Villa, and I never reached the cup final at United or Everton, but I reached it at Villa, and we were struggling in the league at the time. So yeah, I've experienced something similar, and it really does have a special feel about it when it's at one of the clubs that are not expected together.
And a quick word on, well, manager and teammates. Obviously Javi Gracia getting a lot of plaudits this year for the job he's done, but it's interesting from an outsider looking in, the fact that there is that English contingent there as well. You know, obviously Eddie Mariappa being there, Ben Foster being back there, of course, Troy Deeney gets a lot of mentions as well, and Andre Gray, of course. So it seems like a really nice balance between some of the foreign stars that are there and also the English lads.
Yeah, definitely. I think every successful team has a really good balance, and we've definitely got that in our squad, between homegrown and foreign, between hard work and flair, young and old, and I think it's just really worked. But yeah, I think it's important that we have got that experienced British core that has played thousands of league games between us. So it's like I said, the balance has really worked this year, and credit to the manager for bringing that in.
Yeah, what would it mean to yourself and the other boys to actually walk off with that trophy at the end, to walk up them steps and actually hold that trophy aloft at the end? I mean, can you just give an impression of what that might just feel like? And because from my experience, you know, you almost have to live that yourself if you're going to experience it. So,
yeah. No, I fully know what you mean. Yeah, you asked. I've been replaying the moment of Troy lifting it over in my head, and it has to give you that belief that it is actually going to happen. And yeah, I mean, it's something I've never done in my career, and I've lost in a final, so To actually win it, and to for the rest of your life to be able to say you're an FA Cup winner, having watched the FA Cup for as long as I can remember, FA Cup final days. It's something that I will be hugely proud about, and we know it's going to be tough, but for 90 or 120 minutes, hard work, it will definitely be worth it in the end if we win.
And from a personal point of view, in fact, it was probably this time last year I saw you at the Watford training ground. Of course, you were getting fit. You had that serious injury. So to get yourself back fully fit, I know it's been a bit of a bitty season. Is that fair to say? Are you pleased, though, that you have got yourself fully fit and you feel good again?
Yeah, I mean, you're right in saying it's been a stop start, and I've not been as fit as I would like to be. And you're always playing catch up when you... no pre-season and coming back in November, so it's been a disappointing season for me personally, but what has kept me going is to see such a great group of lads all working hard together and being successful, and that could it be more to make history on Saturday. So yeah, it's really kept me going, and even though it's been personally disappointing, I've been spurred on by being collectively successful, so it's not been all bad.
Brilliant. And for me now, what message would you give to the Watford supporters? Because for them, it's going to be a great day. Just as it's for the players. So what would be your lasting message to give to them before they come and observe? Hopefully, what will be a great success for the boys.
Well, obviously enjoy the day, but more of the same. It definitely counts. They kept us going against Wolves. They've kept us going so many times before, and we're going to have to endure tough spells at the weekend, but just keep with us, and obviously just from me and all the other players, it definitely helps us. So yeah, that would be my message.
And I guess it's hard looking forward to next season because you have got this game. But going into next season, with this season being as successful as it has been, have you even put any thought as to what the goal will be going into next season?
I've not, no, but I think every year as a football club, you just want to continue to improve. So that would probably be the number one from Gino and the manager. And for me personally, it's to have a bit of a break now and then come back as fit as possible, get a full pre-season under my belt and put this year behind me. So, I think those would be the aims of the team and for myself personally.
Just before we go, that goal at Crystal Palace, absolutely fantastic. I mean, I was sat there watching it and to be honest, I couldn't believe you got it so cleanly, just because it seemed to happen in just an instant the way you did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those moments where you feel like all the lonely days in the gym were worth it, even just to help the team to one win on the season. It means that you've done something productive, and all the hard work's not been for nothing. So it was a real sweet one, having been sent off there the year before, and I know what the Palace away fixture means to the fans. So yeah, it was a real standout moment for this season for me.
Great stuff. Well, look, Tom, good luck for the weekend. And I'm assuming you're going to Vegas, yeah? That's where everyone goes, isn't it?
No, I'm straight away with the family. Ah. My commitments have changed now, Rich.
You're a changed man, Tom. What's happened?
I'm sure if we win Saturday, there'll be a celebration going on somewhere.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know. Great stuff. Tom Cleverley, thank you very much.
Good luck, Tom.
Great stuff. That was Tom Cleverley there, giving us his thoughts on the massive game at the weekend.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Watford FA Cup final special on Love Sport with myself, Richard Lee, and Luther Blissett. And who better to have on than Peter Taylor, Mayor of Watford. Hello, Peter.
Hi there, Richard.
All right, keen to get your thoughts on what this means to the town.
It's a big deal for the town. There's a definite buzz around the place. We've had this week we just put out a kilometre of bunting and flags everywhere. I'm going to have big screens in our main park, Castlebury Park, and we're expecting thousands of people to be watching it there. So it is a very big deal.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about this. I heard about this at Castlebury Park. So it's going to be three big screens.
That's right. I mean, Castlebury Park, we get about 40,000 people there for our fireworks display, and we're expecting, you know, a big turnout for this. lots of families keen to watch the game. Not everyone can be at Wembley. And so we thought it was important to put on the big screen and everyone can come together and watch the match.
Fantastic. And if they do win, am I assuming there will be an open-top bus?
Yes, you might well think that. I couldn't possibly comment. I don't want to tempt fate, but of course we would definitely want to celebrate Watford if they were successful against Man City.
Absolutely. And for yourself, will you actually be going to the game or are you going to be in Castleberry Park?
I'm going to be at the match, so the club have kindly invited me along with their entourage, so I'll be there. My wife's coming along as well. It's actually only her second ever football match, but yeah, we'll be there watching Watford.
And I've got to ask you, Peter, we always ask for a prediction. What is your score prediction for the game?
I think 1-0 to Watford. Obviously, I've got to be optimistic. I was there last Sunday watching them against West Ham, where it didn't quite go to plan, but I just think it's been a really mad few weeks in football, so anything's possible.
True. So you think we're going to keep a clean sheet against Man City?
I'm quietly confident.
That is incredible positivity. but great stuff. Well, Peter, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Great stuff. That is Peter Taylor, Mayor of Watford, who thinks it's going to be a 1-0 victory to Watford. Love Sport. This is the Watford FA Cup special here on Love Sport with myself, Richard Lee, and Luther Blissett. Well, that's been quite a show, Luther.
It's been excellent. Very, very good. Some great memories and it really gets you up for what's coming up at the weekend.
Yeah, nice. Some fantastic guests. Obviously, massive thank you to Tom Cleverly, to Les, and also to AD, of course, as well. In terms of the game, you've given your prediction. You think it will be 2-1 to Watford?
Yeah.
You're standing by that prediction?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to stand by. I think we're either going to win it by 1-0 or it will be a 2-1. There'll only be one goal in it.
Do you think, yeah?
Yeah.
You see, I'm going to go a bit more of a goal-scoring game. I think we're going to take the lead a couple of times. They're going to peg us back. I can see it go into extra time, maybe even penalties. But I do think it's going to be a positive outcome. And I could see Gomez being the hero. I've just got a feeling.
He has been a great hero for us, isn't he, over the years. When you think back to that Leicester playoff game, you know, got us to the playoffs. Incredible. And we were talking about it earlier on, it's quite incredible. Incredible, that was, yeah.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, that's one thing that Watford, and certainly with Ben Foster as well, blessed with fantastic goalkeepers this season. Of course, Ben winning a couple of awards as well, I believe.
He did. He spoke very well, actually. He spoke very well, Ben, because I was at the dinner, and he deserved it. He's one of those characters, as goalkeepers often are. You know, they keep the rest of us going because they are a little bit out there with the way they are, and quite rightly too. They've got to be sometimes much larger than life characters if you're going to be a goalkeeper.
You have to be a little bit of a weirdo. That's what you're saying. We'll leave it on that note. Luther, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me. My name's Richard Lee. I've been with Luther Blissett. You have been listening to this Watford FA Cup special here on Love Sport. A massive thank you to our guests, and come on, you Wands.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. The Hornets take over every Sunday night, 7 till 8 p.m. The boys from the Hornets Nest bring you the Watford Fans Show, bringing you all the news from Vicarage Road and the Premier League. The Watford Fans Show, every Sunday night on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice.